Hello, my name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
And we're here with Type Radio at the Dirk Dunbar studio in The Hague. And we're here with Gert and Dirk Dunbar.
Type Radio.
Hello, my name is Dirk Dunbar and this is Type Radio. Now we're talking.
Hello, my name is Gert Dunbar. This is Type Radio. Now we're talking.
Do you lie?
Do I lie?
Yeah.
Depends on, sometimes maybe. Not much, because I hate lying, I told you before, yeah. And I hate cheating. But no, if you can, you cannot call me a liar or something, no. I'd rather face people with, or confront people with things than lie about it. Oh, I have to.
Yeah,
do you lie?
Yes, a little lie now and there. A little lie now and there, but not, it's more a diplomatic lie. To keep things small and...
Have you lied during the interview?
Are you my father?
No, I haven't.
Not yet.
No, why should I? I
mean, but, an interview is... illegal typefaces?
Yeah, well, I don't have illegal typefaces, but... an interview is open your mind sort of thing, eh? So why should I lie? It's a waste of energy.
So do you love me?
No.
Darling, I love you.
Can you sing?
Yeah. No, I can't sing.
Liar. Okay.
No, I cannot sing. But
you made a record once.
You know my record, which was on the radio, which I made with Hard Werken.
No.
You didn't know that about Angelique.
Oh yes.
Years ago. Angelique, the daughter of a police officer who became a prostitute. Angelique. It was with a band from Michel, and it was produced with Hard Werken. I cannot sing on the beat. It's a sort of something in my brain which is damaged or whatever. Although I like jazz music very much, and I like dancing. I used to like dancing, but...
But was it released? I mean, was that like...
No, it was on the VPRO radio once, okay. But it was more like a present for clients, a stupid present, and I was singing there, Angelique.
And so you were the lead singer?
Yes. It was all in French.
And it took about 20 tracks to get it in tune.
Yeah, and they had this fantastic patience. They built a special wooden studio for me out of timber wood. For the good sound, very professional, and they say, you know, beating the rhythm with the hands. Now you must sing. And then it's like, Angelique. They went like this. So it was for me a nightmare.
But you got it right?
It's a 45 record disc.
That would be very interesting to hear that back. Do you think there's somebody like who still has that?
Yes, I have. You still have it? No, not downstairs.
I must have them somewhere, the records.
Could you look them up?
If you phone me and I'll go in the studio, look them up, yes.
It is a
totally crazy song.
So how long ago is this?
15 years, something like that. Yeah, or 20 years. It was, we were very much close to Hard Werken and sort of two groups which... had similar ideas and ideals on design, also complete different ways of expression. But we used to meet each other and have Chinese meals and that sort of thing. Yeah.
So there was a lot of interaction.
Yeah, well, yes, talking, and they used to come with us and eating at the studio, and we used to come to them and Rotterdam, and we used to eat with them. Yeah. Sort of... in a similar situation, looking for design in another way, sort of thing.
Is that also like steering away from the functionalism that sort of was like the rule in design land?
Yeah, it's a sort of Wim Carl rule. Yes. Personally, I was not so in for functionalism, but I could do it very well because I had a teacher which was Schuitema, and in England it was Anthony Froschak, and Anthony Froschak is the British typographer which comes from Ulm. Ulm was this reinvention of the Bauhaus in Germany after the war. Very functional teacher of typography, who was a good friend of Imcarl, by the way. So I know what it is, but I thought it personally, but it's very personally, it didn't interest me. I was more interested in the illustrative side and image side of the profession, together with type. But I also designed with Gert-Jan Leuveling the icon of functional typography in Holland, which is the timetable book for the Dutch railways, which is still the same grid, the same system which we...
Till the end of the year.
Yes, and then...
Are they changing it?
I think so.
Oh.
They well, changed the whole timetable, so probably changed the design also, I think.
No, they always change the timetable, yeah, but not the system.
Not like they're going to do now.
Oh, well, I don't know. Anyway, then it was an icon of 35 years. So.
But... you're more interested, you say, in illustration and image. For example, we hear on the news now in Denmark with these cartoons that were released, and how the power of these images sort of changed also the course of the country in a way. Because what do you think of the?
Well, I think the images were not harmful towards the Islam. Because I was born and raised in the biggest Islam country in the world, which is Indonesia. But that's a very mild form of the Islam. And but it is very interesting for Denmark and Scandinavian countries because they are rather bourgeois and arrogant towards this whole thing because they never had any colony or whatsoever. They don't have any historical background in Asia or in Arabia like England, France and Holland has. So I think it's in a way it's also good for the Scandinavian countries that this has happened, and it shows at the same time how stupid and silly this fanatical aspect of the Islam is. Being fanatical is not good for mankind on what form as well. And so that shows, and it's, I think it's good for Denmark, for the Scandinavian countries that's happened.
So that they're more aware of
They're more aware that they have to treat Islam with respect, which is obvious, and you should know that in the Islam you are not allowed to represent a human figure. Huh? It's live classes on real Islam art schools are forbidden. That's why Islam is so good in the decoration, huh? The mathematical decoration, which goes back in the medieval time. So you should have known it. On the other hand, modern Islam can also say goodbye to that attitude and step in this contemporary world. So it's good for both sides. But also, personally, the fanatism of Mr. Bush, which is also a fanatism, and fanatism is... Being fanatical is not good, as I said, for mankind. But it is, to me, to my surprise, it has not been published in British papers. These cartoons, while they were all over in Dutch papers, and the British are masters in humor and having very sour drawings on their own situation and other situations. Yeah. Very interesting, very delicate question. Hmm. Okay.
Wait, but very quickly. I mean, you talk about awareness of other cultures, and for example. Is this better? Yeah. You were talking about exporting design and.
Yes. There was a B&O thing about like a symposium exporting things to China, and I was wondering when I read that article, or like an announcement or something? How do you export design, especially to a really culturally really foreign country like China, which has like a different science and different, there's so many things so different. How do you export design there?
Well, that's the question I had this morning when we were I had a visit in the studio by a Chinese designer, Indonesian designer, someone from Greece and Portugal and America and Holland. I was explaining, well, they were asked the success of Studio Dunbar, and I was trying to explain it a little bit, that in China we are a brand, but that is not really the core of my answer. I am personally a little bit against globalization, although I must say it is good for the nations that there is free trade. Free trade is good for the world, and free trade is good for the standard of living also in poor countries. And there is free trade in science. If someone invents something, the other cultures and other populations and other nations can use that result which the scientist invented in the laboratory. There is also when there is an invention in technique, immediately nations can adopt it, and so on, or pharmaceutical things. That's good for mankind. But what is not good for mankind is that they copy each other graphic design, because that is the end of graphic design in the world. That means then graphic design is on globalization. If you see the first results, which do come from America, that design is so dull now at the moment. It's all on the level, it's more or less window dressing, and it's on the level of McDonald's. That is not what is design is about. Design is about communicating in your own culture. So I said to the Indonesian student, never forget that you're from Indonesia. Indonesia is a country with more than 250 different languages. I'm not talking about India. I'm not talking about China. But all those nations, the Americans, the Germans, the Italians, the Greek, the people from Vietnam, Japan, they all have their own way of expressing visual communication, and they must really stimulate that. Of course, they must use stupid Roman typeface, but that is handicap, let me put it that way. It's a sort of, that has happened with the Romans, and the Greeks were always against the Romans, so they had their own typeface, and the Indians have the Indian typeface, Chinese have Chinese characters we were talking about. So, but that makes graphic design so colorful on one side. And I'm a stimulator of that idea. But on the other side, we indeed can export design to China. We have just opened an office in China, but that is because they want to use the brand of Studio Dunbar.
Which means, what when you say the brand?
Well, we are very very advanced on design for the public sector, for instance. We have done in the past things which are specific, contribute to the Dutch style, yes?
Yeah.
It's that what the Chinese people like. And as I said, it sounds a bit arrogant, but it is true. There is a big book from us, from our work, which is published in China in 35,000 copies, sold out in 2 months. So they want to have Dunbar, but also they want to have Rem Koolhaas as an architect. It's also a brand. So that is a simple way of exporting design. You export your name, but it's not a guarantee for good design.
Is it fair? You can ask yourself. Like America, well, that has no history, they buy history. And
interesting question, what Derek is saying.
The fact that, like, that you sort of respect the design culture and export more like a way of viewing design more than the design itself, or like the mentality in which you design with.
Yes, that is. That's
because
good.
I mean, Holland is known all over the world that it's a really design conscious country, in all layers of society.
Yeah, that is why they come to us on design. Yes, but Derek's question: is it fair? In a way, I'm contradicting myself when I must give him an answer. Because I was just a big promoter of the local, the couleur locale, and suddenly there come this brand Dunbar in and says, yeah, hey, wait a moment.
Telling everybody how
it's even in its name, it's also.
So, in a way, if you see it in a very puristic way, it's not consequent.
It's just about the money.
But for example, even it's in its name, it's quite dominant. I mean, once the minute you say branding, that's quite a. It's a different.
But how do you mean when branding? Yeah, we are brand, yeah. We are in China a brand, that is true, but not at the prime minister's level, but amongst designers, of course. And designers work with Chinese clients, and if a Chinese client phones up, do you know an office in Europe, then they mention us, let me put it that way. Yeah? That is sort of thing what can happen.
So would you say like it's like, oh, I dream of having Prada shoes, but I also dream of Studio Dunbar designing this for me, in that sort of brand?
No, because I'm not so into fashion myself.
Yeah,
I think
but
very okay. Superfluous. Fashion is very superfluous, but as a brand, apparently in graphic design, we are a brand, yes, and then it's nice if they come to us.
Yeah.
But I can say to you that they also come to us for extremely prestigious project, which I cannot mention, and it's from the government. And it deals with also with communication for the public sector. And China, the Chinese government can use a little bit of the sort of free thinking and the liberal way of thinking of the Dutch do in their from their point of view, but not that we want to change communism or whatever, but communicating with your people is important in China, of course. Also in China there are, I don't know how much, different languages and cultures, so if there is a visual lingua franca that can help Chinese as well. Mm. It's a functional communication with the government and its citizens.
And why China, for example, and not
Because Australia? I like the impossible. I started that idea 10 years ago and nobody was on that track, and I personally, in fact, it is an idea of Leonie, my wife. She went to China with a friend. She wanted to do a publication, a book on contemporary Chinese graphic design under severe communism, but that was too difficult. And then she gave me the hint. I have met so many interesting young Chinese designers. You should make contact with them. So she established a contact. And from one thing came another thing. But now I'm not so much involved anymore in Studio Dhamma, so my partner Michel takes it over and he really pushes the envelope further in China. But it is not guaranteed success. It's a daring experiment, and I've always liked taking risks. An impossible risk. And in those days it was an impossible risk for me to do that. And apparently, as it looks now, it's working out okay.
And do you miss not being part of Studio Dunbar?
Darling, of course not. I have you. No. This is a question which a lot of people ask me, but I have really worked hard. And I have educated Michel of 25 years, so he has this sort of Studio Dunbar craze or brainwashiness attitude. And I'm very glad not having the responsibility anymore for finding salary for 25 to 30 people.
Type radio.org.